that he spoke, and Lord, we just thank you for the example that Daniel was of complete dedication to you, Lord, and seeking you out in everything he does. May we follow in his footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeff. As Jeff mentioned, continuing our series through the book of Daniel, we now come to chapter 9, and it opens up with a prayer, or really a plea from Daniel to God for his people. You see, Israel and Judah were currently scattered and exiled from their land and enslaved basically to other people because they had sinned against God. That's the context, the historical context of the book of Daniel. And that is what prompted Daniel now to plead to the Lord for his people and seek forgiveness. The family of Israel was in the midst of God's chastening. And it appears that up until this point, Daniel had not fully understood why. I think he knew they were, but I think up until this point, he did not fully understand why. But now, as we're going to see here this morning, he does. And so in our passage, we find Daniel's plea for his people. That's our subject this morning. Daniel's plea for his people. At the time that Janine and I started our family, I was involved in a business that I was sure would make me a multi-millionaire. I invested a great deal of energy into it, a great deal of time, money into this business, and I planned at that point in time on retiring by the time I was 30 and then living the high life the rest of my life. Well, at 28 years old, I met the Lord Jesus. I'd heard about him from numerous sources, but in 1993, I finally came to realize that I was indeed a sinner, that I had offended God and separated myself from God because of that sin, really completely because of who God is, holy and perfect. I was completely disqualified from a relationship with him because of my sin. Completely disqualified from a personal relationship with the holy God of the universe. And it was at that point in time that I learned that Jesus' payment for my sin was the only way to have my sins forgiven. And so, as God tells us to do in his word, I place the full weight of my trust in Christ and receive not only forgiveness of sin, but the promise of eternal life with him. Okay? And it was a promised life with him forever, a life that never ends, a glorious life. And I thought in that moment, well, this is great. Now I can be rich in the world and in heaven. That was my thinking in the moment, okay? And I continued to pursue my business even harder. But to my shock, my business began to decrease. It began to do worse. So I invested more time, more money. I was doing everything that I needed to do to succeed, but I was going backwards, fast and deep, tens of thousands of dollars backwards into debt, and my business continued to fall apart. And I remember thinking, God, why are you doing this? Why are you punishing my effort like this? Why are you withholding this from me? I love you. Why is this happening to my family? And I remembered being so stressed out at that point in time about money. So focused on money. It was all I ever thought about. And I was so angry that after I'd expressed my love to God, that He would do this to me. And then at a men's retreat, I heard this passage of Scripture for the very first time. It's from Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." And later in that same chapter, it says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And now I knew why it was happening. In fact, looking back on it now, it's plain to me God was chastening me because money was really my God. It was my idol. And so I sought God's forgiveness and I began to seek Him first. And He did begin to, well, He'd always been taking care of us, but He began to draw me out of that idol worshiping lifestyle. He began to take care of us. He got us out of debt. He got me out of that business. He got me out of that worldly mindset. And now, here some 25, maybe even, well, about 25 years later, I have to tell you, we have never been so blessed as we are. And in all honesty, I don't worry about money hardly at all anymore. And I say hardly at all because you know. Okay, we are still prone to those things, but it is not a focus. And I praise God today for His chastening of me that showed me the direction that He wanted for my life. But here's my point. I did not fully understand why I was being chastened by God until He revealed it to me. And when He did, when it was revealed, when I knew what was going on in my life and why it was happening, I repented. I sought His forgiveness and He set me on a path of blessing. And I tell you all of that because that is what is happening to Daniel in our passage. Now, I don't think he had a love of money, but as we're going to see, as he pleads for the nation of Israel for forgiveness, we are going to see that the nation of Israel was involved in sin. They were in captivity right now because God was chastening them for sin that they had committed. Now, while I do not believe that every trial we face is God's chastening, I don't believe that. However, because of what we're reading right here, if we feel as though we are being chastened by God right now, perhaps there is. I think we need to keep that option open. I think we need to allow God to search our hearts. I think we need to search our hearts. Perhaps there is a sin in our life or in our family that needs to be exposed, addressed, and forgiven. And if that is the case, Daniel gives us the process of seeking that forgiveness. We're going to find it in our passage this morning. Again, Israel and Judah were currently scattered. They were exiled from their land, enslaved to other people because they sinned against God. And that is what prompted Daniel to plead to the Lord for his people and seek his forgiveness. The family of Israel was in the mindset, they were in the midst of being chastened by God. And it appears that up until this point, Daniel had not fully understood why. But now he does. Comprehension was received. And that's the first thing we're going to find actually in our passage here. Comprehension was received. And we're going to see that it happened by hearing God's word. Look at verse 2 again. Jeff read it earlier, but verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, King Darius, that is, says, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Comprehension is here received by Daniel by hearing God's word. Allow me to just state the obvious. I just need to state it, okay? But one of the best ways to learn about something is to hear about it. Right? Okay, I know I'm stating the obvious, but whether it be reading it ourselves or hearing it audibly through someone else, we learn things by hearing. Who here knows about the American Civil War? Yeah, I want you to raise your hand because I need to know if you don't, all right? All right, I know I'm stating the obvious. I'm humor me here, but you know about that. And you know about it, its purposes, right? What it accomplished. And I know there are a few of you here that are pretty old, but I don't think that there are any of you here who know about it because you experienced it, right? Okay. So everything that you comprehend about it, you had to have heard. You read it, someone told you, and I would imagine that while we have some understanding about the American Civil War, if we were to read even some of the original documents from that period of time, we might gain a whole lot more information about it. Well, I think Daniel knew that Israel was captive. I think he knew that it was being, he probably assumed it was the chastening of God, but it was not until he read God's word through the prophet Jeremiah from about 70 years earlier that he received comprehension concerning why they were in captivity. And in these next verses, we're going to see a few things about this captivity. I just read verse 2, and here are some things we learn right from verse 2. God's word revealed why they were captive. Over 70 years earlier in Jeremiah 25, he speaks of many of the ways they had sinned against God, and Daniel is going to confess them in a moment. But God's word exposes sin. In fact, in Romans 3:20, it specifically says that the purpose of God's law is to give us knowledge of what sin is. Simply, it is any violation of God's character and standards. Israel and Judah had violated both, and we're going to see that as we progress in the passage. They violated both, and they had done so for many years, and that's why they were captive. So God's word revealed why they were captive. God's word revealed how long it would last. In Jeremiah 25:12 and 29:10, specifically predicted, and that must be what Daniel was reading when he opened the book of Jeremiah, because it specifically predicted that this captivity would last 70 years. And Lord willing, next week we're going to discover why 70 years, and so will Daniel. But this captivity began around 605 BC. It was now roughly 68 years later, which means this captivity was about 2 years from ending. And Daniel concluded that perhaps his people had not even sought God's forgiveness for the sin that made them captive. So he's going to address it. So God's word revealed why they were captive. God's word revealed how long it would last. And then lastly, God's word revealed what Daniel needed to do. And we find it in verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. You see, God's word reveals sin. God's word reveals sin. And just to apply this to us this morning, if we feel as though perhaps we are being chastened by God, I think we need to look into God's word and see if there is some way perhaps that we have offended him. You see, comprehension was received by the word of God. This is how Daniel began to understand what's going on here. Here's the next part of the process. The first part is comprehension was received. The next part of the process is confession was remorseful. And it is because sin offends God. Fasting, sackcloth, ashes. They were a way that the Jewish people expressed really sincere remorse. A way of mourning. It is a physical way, but it expresses really what's going on inside. If I've offended God and made him uncomfortable by my sin, well then I'm going to be uncomfortable too. I won't eat. I'll wear uncomfortable clothing. I'll wallow in my own filth, just like I've done to the Lord. Lord, I want to feel the pain I've caused you. I want to feel the pain that you've gone through because of my sin. Now, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes will never even compare, but they are symbolic. They're an external way that the Jewish people expressed what they were feeling on the inside. I hope that exposed sin in our life makes us hurt. It should, and here's why. God has standards. He's holy. He's perfect. He's good. Let's read about it in verses 4 and 5. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Now, in that verse, in that passage I just read there, that word Lord used by Daniel in prayer is the Hebrew name Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the most sacred name of God. It expresses his self-existence. Really, the fact that he doesn't need anything. Not even us. We exist only because he wanted us. He wanted objects that he could shower his love upon. He is great and awesome and always does exactly as he says. He is gracious to those who know and love him. His commandments, though, they're his standards. His standards of life that express who he is so that we can know him and love him in return. And therefore, we love him by keeping his commandments. In fact, Jesus tells us in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. God has showered his love upon us. He gives us everything that we need. And by obeying him, we're simply expressing our love in return to him. It is the right thing to do. God has standards because they tell us who he is, and violating those standards expresses to him, I don't care. I don't love you. But Daniel did care. He did love God. And upon discovering how sinful his people had been, he hurt. God has standards, and Israel had sinned. They sinned then, back here, and I believe, having rejected their own Messiah, they are in sin now. And I believe Israel is actually being chastised now. While God had predicted they would become a nation in one day, and they did back in 1948, just as God promised, I believe that they are being chastened now. God is using, as he has in the past, he is using the Gentile world to chastise Israel right now for their own wickedness. Well, that is exactly what was happening right here in Daniel's time too. And while what we're about to read is Daniel's confession, I would like us to use it. Use what we read here to examine ourselves and see if we are perhaps guilty of these things that we might confess them to. We look at Scripture, we look at, well, Israel, and we wonder, how could they be so dumb? Right? We need to take a look at ourselves. We need to take what we're learning right here and apply it to our own life. And I pray that if we find something here that looks like us, let's do what Daniel's doing right here, okay? But anyway, here we go. Israel, they had departed from God's ordinances. Verse 5 talks about his precepts, his judgments or laws. And these particular items had to do with expressions really of worship. For the Jews, this would include offerings, sacrifices, the keeping of feasts and Sabbaths. And that last one was a major reason for Israel's captivity. We're going to see that a little bit more next week. But for us, it may be, maybe we're departing from, I don't know, corporate fellowship. Maybe we're departing from our prayer life. Maybe we're departing from obeying God, doing exactly what he says not to. Maybe we've departed from communion, baptism, I don't know. We could include departing from a lot of things. All right, but they had departed from things that God had expressly said to do. They had also disregarded God's prophets. Look at verse 6. It says, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land. You see, again, going back to Jeremiah, what prompted this prayer for Daniel? Jeremiah warned them of their impending captivity by Babylon because of their departure. But they didn't listen. They kept doing what they were doing. Ezekiel, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk all gave the same kind of warning as well, but they disregarded their message. Are we hearing warnings from God concerning our life, our future, our sin? Are we departing from God and disregarding it? Here's another thing they were doing. They were disloyal to God's relationship. Look at verses 7 and 8. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. This is them. This is us committing spiritual adultery, pursuing things in life above and with more fervence than we pursue our own God. If we claim to have a relationship with God, but we're pursuing idols, we're loving the world and the things of it more than we are God. That is what Israel had done. They were disloyal to God's relationship. They were also defiant toward God's laws. Verses 9 and 10. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. I know God says this, but I'm going to do this instead because I want to. This is like us using our liberty in Christ for an occasion to sin. I know God will forgive me. Look how gracious He is. He's so merciful. I can do whatever I want to do. That is defiance. That's rebellion. And God tells us in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's not who we have been recreated to be. That's not who we are anymore. Galatians 5:13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Israel had been doing that. We do that sometimes. They were defiant toward God's laws, and they were deficient in God's oath. Verses 11 through 13. Says, yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written, the law of Moses, all this disaster, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. And that is why Daniel's doing it now. Perhaps no one in the nation has come to God seeking forgiveness. So Daniel's doing it now. And this particular oath or covenant through Moses, it concerned the enjoyment of their promised land through obedience. If they obeyed God, they could live in their land and enjoy it and prosper. If they disobeyed God, they would be scattered. Well, here in Daniel, they are currently scattered. For us, we're given salvation through faith in Christ. Eternal life in heaven is our promise. But in Philippians 2:12, we are told, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," he says, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That's not working for your salvation, it's working it out. In other words, live now. Live now like you are residents of heaven. Because you are. Don't be deficient in God's oath. And then they were disobedient to God's word. Obviously, verse 14 puts it this way, "Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice." Again, if we feel like we're being chastened, perhaps we are. Perhaps we are. Search your heart. Allow God to search your heart. Confess it. In fact, in 1 John 1:8-9, it says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And then it continues, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confess it like Daniel with sincere remorse. Because sin offends God. God has been offended. In fact, in verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, and 14, all say that our sin is against God first and foremost. Psalm 51, 2 and 4 says, 2 through 4 says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." In other words, when it comes down to sin, we are wrong and God is right. Comprehension was received by hearing God's word. Confession was remorseful because sin offends God. And the last part of our process is clemency was requested. And it was based on God's name. Clemency is an act of mercy, compassion, forgiveness. And God gives it because that is who he is. Even today, we often name people because of what they're known for. Here are a few names from football. Mean Joe Green. I wonder why they named him that, right? Mean on the field. His meanness on the field. Refrigerator Perry. He got his name because it was like trying to move a refrigerator. The big guy. The Minister of Defense, Reggie White. 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. Hacksaw Reynolds, cut through the competition. Too Tall Jones, was just too tall, right? Well, in the verses that we're going to finish with today, Daniel calls on God's character, really, for his namesake. In other words, I'm calling on your name, God, for these qualities because that is who you are. That is who you are. Daniel 15 through 19. And I want you to listen. Listen to these words closely. It says, "And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name. As it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name. And I want to point out as we end here this morning, two key attributes of this request for God's clemency. First of all, it is not because they deserve it. It's not because they deserve it. He says, for we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds. And of course, the reason is they have none. They have sinned. Over and over again, he lists this. We have sinned. We have rebelled. We have departed. We have disobeyed. They deserve the chastening they're getting. They deserve desolation. They deserve to be completely and eternally abandoned by God. That is what sin deserves. In fact, death in Scripture means separation. Spiritual death is separation from God forever. In Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin, that is the fair payment for sin, is death. It's that separation. So clemency is not being requested because they deserve it, but rather it's because of God's name. God is mighty. And so Daniel requests that just like God freed them from Egyptian slavery, that he might free them from this captivity because he's mighty. He's able to do it. God is righteous, and so Daniel requests that while God is just and always does what is right, that he might turn his fury away from destroying what he promised to keep, namely Jerusalem and the Temple Mount with its sanctuary where his glory dwells. Lord, you can't keep that place desolate because you said you wouldn't. And you always do what is right. And it indeed would be built a few short years from this point. By the way, prayer works. God is mighty, God is righteous, God is merciful. Mercy or compassion is God withholding the punishment that we do deserve. Titus 3:5, it tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That is who God is. And so Daniel requests that God withhold the punishment that they deserve. And then God is forgiving. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name. God forgives. He's merciful. He's righteous. He's mighty. Because that is his name. That is who he is. Clemency was requested based on that. Again, while I do not believe that every trial we face is God's chastening, if we feel as though we are being chastened, perhaps there is sin in our life or in our family that needs to be exposed, addressed, forgiven. And if that is the case, comprehension can be received. We can understand the why of this chastening simply by looking into God's Word. Confession can be made, should be made, because that sin, it offends God. And clemency can be requested because that's who God is. That's who God is. El Racham is a name of God found in Deuteronomy 4:31. It says this, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them." And that is why Israel, even today, is currently in their land. It's the mercy of God. They don't deserve it, but they're there because that's who God is. He promised they would have it. And there is a coming day. There is a coming day when Israel will repent. They will change their mind. And that is predicted in Zechariah 12:10. It predicts, "Yet future from now, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn." That is why there are messianic Jews today. That is, Jewish people who have placed their faith in Christ. They recognize Jesus as their Messiah. That is why there are messianic Jews today that are pleading to God for their people, as Daniel is doing it right here. It's a message for us. A message that we can apply to our lives anyway. We are chastened because God loves us and he wants us to love him in return. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to stop chasing those things that are completely different and in opposition, contrary to God. And I can tell you, that business that I had that I thought I was going to be a multimillionaire in, I didn't really like it. I didn't like the work that I had to do. I didn't like how often it took me away from my family. It made me tired and miserable. And now looking back on it in hindsight, because God withheld success, millions of dollars from me, I now have the greatest occupation ever. There is nothing that I would rather do with my life than what I'm doing right now. God is blessed beyond my wildest imagination, but it took chastening to get me there. I don't know where you are right now. We can see plainly where Israel was, but I don't know where you are right now. What's going on in your life? What trials are happening? But I would ask you, search your heart. I don't think that every trial is chastening from God, but perhaps it is. Search your heart. Plead with God. Allow him to expose sin if there is some, and confess it. come back to Him. As we look at God's answer to Daniel's prayer, we're going to find that Israel was not trained by it after this. It's going to lead, however, after this point in time, even though they continue to rebel, God is going to fulfill His promises to them, and it's going to lead to the greatest demonstration of mercy God has ever shown. Messiah, the Prince, is coming. Father, thank You for our time this morning in Your Word. Thank You for the heart of Daniel. Especially, Lord, the heart of Daniel for his people, Your people, Israel. And while we take what we've learned here this morning and apply it to our own lives to see, and I pray that we do that, Lord. I pray that we do that first and foremost, that we would take what we've learned here concerning Your promises to Israel, Your grace toward them, Your mercy, Your might, that we might take what we've learned here, Lord, and apply it to ourselves, that we might see if there is anything wicked in us and return to You. Lord, I also think of Israel this morning. And I do believe, Lord, as we're seeing in current events in the world, You are using the Gentile world to chasten them. Lord, I pray that You would use that, though, to bring them to a point, as Zechariah predicted, that they would look on Him whom they've pierced and mourn for Him as an only son, that they would come to the realization of knowing that Jesus is their Messiah and trust in Him. Lord, thank You for our time here this morning, and it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.